Amen. Thank you, AG Singers. I want to give a shout out. Didn't the men look good up here today? Yeah. Sounded good, looked good. Ladies, too. Yeah. Yeah, I got a few gray hair for some reason. Today we're going to be thinking about honoring those who sacrifice. Our key verse is Philippians 2:29. It says, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him. The full context of Paul's words read like this. Hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, not only on him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that you may see him again, and you may be glad, and I have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy. Honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give. Let us pray. Father God, help us, Lord, to realize that none of us would be here today, that none of us would enjoy life to the fullest without the sacrifice of many other people. And God, help us to honor those sacrifices today. Speak to us, God, through your word. May your word inspire us to sacrifice for you, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You may find it to be a surprise, but every once in a while I get criticized. And some of it I deserve. But one of the criticisms that I've received over the years has to do with about what we're doing today. And that is, invariably, after the service, someone will come up and say, well, Pastor, you recognized all the people who served, but they didn't die. Memorial Day is to remember those who died. We remember our veterans on Veterans Day. And I said, well, you can remember veterans on Veterans Day, but we remember all of them on Memorial Day at Anthony Grove. And I say the reason for that is everybody who puts on the uniform puts their life on the line. Every time you put on the American military uniform, you put your life at risk. The first picture that was on our slideshow a while ago was Brett Campa. Brett Campa is a young man, grew up here in our youth department. I performed his wedding ceremony. He is in Kandahar, Afghanistan right now, one of the most dangerous places in the world. On Friday, Brett put up a picture on his Facebook page. It's a pair of boots, M4 rifle, an American flag. And he put in honor of, and he put one of his buddies who died in Mosul, Iraq, in Brett's first tour of duty. You see, most of us don't know somebody personally that has died serving our country. But on Friday, Brett remembered his friend. But you see, I believe that all of our military should be recognized on this day because they all sacrifice. Brett has been married 11 years. This past Monday, May the 20th, Brett celebrated his 11th wedding anniversary 10,000 miles away from his wife. 10,000 miles away from his two small children, one who has special needs. In the 11 years that Brett and Michelle have been married, he's been overseas four times on four different tours of duty. Brett is still living, he's still breathing, but I want you to know people like Brett Kempa and their family sacrifice every day, every week, every month, so you and I can have the freedom to worship God. So you can criticize us for honoring those people, or you can join us in celebrating their sacrifice. Since 1776, 1,343,842 men and women have given their lives so that you and I can be free. A while ago I said we want to recognize all of our veterans. Here's a sad statistic. Our young people are doing a thing about suicide right now, but did you know every day in America, 22 veterans commit suicide every day? Those are the ones who didn't die on the battlefield, but what happened on the battlefield, they brought back with them, and they can't live with what they brought back. 22 a day, that's 8,030 a year. To put that in context, Afghanistan is the longest war America has ever been in. 14 years. In 14 years, in Afghanistan and Iraq combined, 6,000 have died. You understand, every year in America, 8,000 veterans take their own life, more than all of Iraq and Afghanistan put together in 14 years. So, you can criticize me for honoring our veterans on Memorial Day with the knowledge that it don't bother me at all. Because, you see, I'm thinking about not only those that have died on the battlefield, but those who have died because of what they saw on the battlefield, and those that have sacrificed, and yet they never die. Some of them come back missing arms and legs, brain trauma, post-traumatic stress disorder that keeps them from functioning in a daily, normal lifestyle. And so today we recognize those folks. But I also want us to stop and think that there are other people who make sacrifices besides the United States military that you and I are a recipient of. For example, this past week, there's been a lot of graduation parties. Can you know what I know from experience? And that is, nobody graduates from high school or college unless somebody else has made a lot of sacrifices for those people to get there. I understand that we have a place to worship today because a lot of folks in the past have made sacrifices of work and of time and of money for us to have a place to come to. And around the world, there are people that sacrifice every day for the cause of Jesus Christ. For example, did you know since 1984, 1.5 million Christians have been killed in Sudan by Arab Muslim militia. Now think about that. In 33 years, more Christians have died in the small country of Sudan than all of the soldiers in 234 years of American history. You see, it's dangerous certain parts of the world to name Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so today we want to honor all of these people who make sacrifices. On the inside of your outline, notice here, Paul holds up two examples for us to follow. Timothy, he says, I have no one else like him. Epaphroditus, he says, honor men like him. Well, how can we be one of these men or women that Paul is writing about? They have a couple of characteristics. Number one, honor those who show compassion. In verse 20, I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. All the others care only for themselves and not for what matters to Jesus Christ. Philip's translation says they're all wrapped up in their own affairs. The word there, compassion, is an interesting word in the Greek New Testament, and it means to be stirred deep down in the inner person. You know, that's our goal every time we come to church. Every time we come to church, we want the Holy Spirit to stir people deep down in their inner soul so that they are inspired to do things greater than themselves. He said they have compassion. Notice these are people who put other people before profits. That is, people are more important than money or things. Good example of this is in the Good Samaritan. You have a businessman. He's on his way doing a business trip. Here's a fella half dead on the side of the road. What happens? He has compassion. He's stirred on the inside to help a complete stranger. He nurses him, takes him to an inn, takes care of his needs. These are the kinds of people that we need today. Those that are stirred to compassion. William Booth was the founder of the Salvation Army. God used him in a great way to touch a lot of people's lives. They were having a great evangelistic meeting. William Booth was preaching. At the end of the service, several people gave their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. People were happy and excited about it. Afterwards, over on the side, William Booth was just weeping and crying. And somebody came to him and he said, William, why are you crying? We had five or six people to get saved in the service. He said, yeah, but we had hundreds that didn't get saved. See, his heart was stirred for those that are far from God that they would come to know him. Second characteristic is honor those who show consistency. In verse 22, but you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. Notice here, Timothy had proved himself. That is, he's been tested and found to be true. You understand you can't have a testimony unless you've been tested. Timothy had been tested. By the way, biblical names have meanings. We give people names now because it sounds good. But the word Timothy means he honors God. That's a big name to live up to, isn't it, Tim? He honors God. I wonder if that could be said about us. No matter what your name is, can it be said about you that you honor God? Timothy honored God. He had proved himself. There was a consistency in his life. You know, one of the things that I've noticed today is you have folks and they are a flash in the pan. That is, man, they can really shine for a moment. But Timothy shined all the time. These are people who put character before conformity. What we need today is some men and women that are consistent in their talk and in their walk. Here's a quote that I read that I found profound. Inconsistent men produce insecure children. Inconsistent men produce insecure children. That is, when you're hot and you're cold and you're hot, you're up, and when you're down, it reflects in the people around you. Proverbs 10:9 says, the man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will be found out. I fear that today we have a lot of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. That is, on Sunday I am Dr. Jekyll, and on Monday I am Mr. Hyde. And our children see this growing up, and then we don't understand that when they become grown, that they don't want to serve God. Well, they haven't seen it consistently lived out in front of them at home. Proverbs 20 and verse 7, children are fortunate. That's blessed. If they have a father who is honest and does what's right. Do you have parents that do what's right? Do you have parents that are honest? People of integrity, people that are consistent. The Bible says you're fortunate. The Bible says you are blessed. I had a fellow come up to me, and he's just crying and boo-hooing and said, Pastor, I want you to pray for my son. He's backslid on God. And he seemed to be so burdened about it, I just felt like I needed to go by and try to witness to him. So I went by. I visited this guy, and I said, you know, I come by. Your dad's really burdened about you. He want me to pray for you. And I just want to come talk to you about Jesus. He laughed at me. He said, well, he needs to pray for himself. He needs to get his own life right, because he gets angry and cusses and acts like a devil when he's not in church. You know what his son was saying? I don't see any consistency in my dad's life. What we need today is men and women that are consistent in their walk with God. And then number three, honor those who show cooperation. Verse 25, but I think it necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, my fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. Notice here, we should honor people who put cooperation above credit. That is, people who said, I'm going to work together for the good of the kingdom, instead of those people who say, I'm going to work so I look good. Saw a cartoon years ago. It says, imagine what we could do if no one was concerned about who got credit for it. Cooperation, working together. Notice here what he called Epaphroditus. He called him a brother. He called him a fellow worker. And he called him a fellow soldier. Now, Epaphroditus wasn't in the military, but Paul said he was a fellow soldier. I want to ask you a question. How many people say those things about you? They say, you're a brother, you're a sister, you're a fellow worker in the kingdom of God. You're a fellow soldier in the battlefield of spiritual warfare. How many people can say that about you? Well, you see, we need each other. In Judges 2:11 it says, so all the men of Israel got together and united as one man against the city. I believe when the Church of Jesus Christ comes together as one body, nothing can stop the Church of Jesus Christ. The problem is for us coming together as one. Brother Gary Shealy is our trumpet player. But did you know he was also in the Special Forces? He is Green Beret. It's my understanding, throughout the world, America is known for having the greatest special forces, special ops in the world. Now, we could probably get in an argument about which special ops is the most special. You know, the Green Beret, the Rangers, the Navy SEALs, I mean, they all got these different ones. But probably the most famous in my time special operation forces is the Navy SEALs. Specifically, Navy SEALs Team 6. Now, why is Team 6 so famous? They're the ones who took out bin Laden. But have you noticed that it was SEAL Team number 6? It was a team. They were working together as a unit, cooperating with one another. It wasn't the guy who took him out. It was the whole team that took him out. You see, it's a team effort. And the Christian life is a team effort. You need to be a part of a team. And you see, that team in the kingdom of God is the church. That's why everybody needs to be a part of a church. Everybody needs to be a part of a team. There's no Lone Ranger victories in the Christian life. It's always a team effort. You see, the real Rambos in life belong to a team. And then next, notice, honor those who show commitment. In verse 25, Epaphroditus, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs, for he longs for all of you in this distress because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, and he almost died. But God had mercy on him. Notice here, we're to honor people who put Christ before comfort. Here's the context of what happened is Paul is in the jail in Rome. He has all kinds of needs that are not being met. The church at Philippi takes up an offering for him. The problem is Paul's 800 miles away. Well, you can't go to Western Union and wire the money to Paul 2,000 years ago. You can't write a check and mail it by Pony Express. How are they going to get the money to supply the needs that Paul has while he's imprisoned for preaching the gospel? They got to have somebody to take it. Epaphroditus volunteers. It is a six-week journey. Now, notice he's not taking cash. They didn't have paper money back then. All the money was what? Gold and silver. Well, gold and silver is heavy. Okay, so he's got a sack of it. And he's carrying it 800 miles. He's committed. He volunteers. Notice here what it says in James 2:17. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. That is, we need people who are committed. You just don't talk a good talk. You actually show up to do the hard work. Notice here, he volunteered. I've noticed that what we have is a lot of people who start out great and never finish. Now, this week, I understand they got a big race around here. Some of our folks over there, some of you are going to watch it. But I'm reminded not long ago, a fellow by the name of Tony Stewart was on the pole. That means he has the fastest time, qualifying time. He's out there in front when they start out. And he starts out and he runs off ahead of everybody else in the whole race. Yeah, he's just out in front of everybody. I don't know about you, but that's kind of boring to me. One guy runs out, gets ahead of everybody, and they just go around and around and around for hours, round and round and round. But let me tell you what, by the end of the race, Tony Stewart come in 16th place. Because you see, in the World 600, it doesn't matter how you start, it matters how you finish. Well, in life, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. There's a lot of folks walk down an aisle, make a big splash, and they're gonna turn the world upside down. And 6 months later, you can't even find them. You can't even find them. They're great starters, but not great finishers. Honor people who have commitment. Then number five, honor those who show courage. In verse 29, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give. I want you to circle that word, risking. In the Greek New Testament, it's actually a gambling term. And it means to roll the dice. You see, Epaphroditus had enough courage to take some risk. I want to ask you a question. What are you risking for Jesus Christ? I mean, where have you stepped out of your comfort zone where you're taking a risk to bring people to God? Where you're taking a risk of falling on your face? Where you're taking a risk that it might turn out differently than what you hope? Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brother, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. He said, I want you to be living sacrifices. This weekend we remember dead sacrifices. But God says He'd rather have a live sacrifice than a dead sacrifice. Now, here's the problem with a living sacrifice is it can crawl off the altar. See, you can walk down an aisle on a Sunday and say, oh, God, I'm going to serve you. And then before the next Sunday, you can get up off of that altar and say, well, I might do that later. You see, there are a lot of folks who sing, onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war on Sunday. And they're AWOL on Monday. You and I are worshiping today because somebody made a sacrifice. We have the freedom to worship because a soldier has fought for that freedom. But you also have seats to sit in and a building to meet in because somebody sacrificed financially in order for us to have these facilities. You know what they could have done? They could have spent it on a boat. They could have spent it on a camper. But they invested in the kingdom of God by sacrificing, doing without some things personally so that you and I would have a place to worship God. The Bible says honor people like that. And then lastly, in Mark 8:35, if you insist on saving your life, you'll lose it. Only those who throw away their lives for my sake and for the sake of the good news will ever know what it means to really live. I want to give you a little history lesson about Anthony Grove Baptist Church. That is, God had begun to bless the church. Church began to grow. We'd run out of facilities. We ran out of room. The little church across the street, they hold about 100 people. We had 24 parking spaces. We had a half acre of land. We were just out of space. And so what happened was, is we believed and we prayed, and God made available to us this 10 acres of land, which we purchased. So we purchased the land, surveyed the land, and built the church, built this building and this building over here. And before our construction loan was ever converted, we voted to build the other one. We moved into these facilities in December of 2003. Now do the math. What happened on December the 11th, 2001? That's when the terrorist crashed those airplanes into those skyscrapers. That might seem like ancient history to some of you, but it wasn't that long ago. And many of us can remember what happened to our economy. Many businesses went under. A lot of folks lost their home. But let me tell you what was going on during that period. We were in the middle of a building program. But you know what? God blessed. People sacrificed. Within 14 months of 9/11, this church had bought 10 acres of land and built three facilities. And then paid them off 14 years ahead of time. Let me tell you why that happened. Some folks made some sacrifices. There were people up here in July hanging the dirt work up here in 100 degree weather. They made sacrifices. They gave. They worked. They served. During this process, bought this land, had to have it surveyed, had to have it marked off. As a pastor, I'm trying to get all the work lined up and get it all done. Frank Tanner was the surveyor. And I said, Frank, I said, you know, man, we really need you to come out here and to stake all this stuff off. He said, Pastor, we're working as quick as we can to get to your job. He said, but I got a problem. I'm short-handed. He said, what happened when 9/11 took place? The best guy I had, 29-year-old guy with 3 children, came in, quit, and joined the Army. He said, I'm a little short-handed. I said, do what? He's got 3 small children. He's only 29 years. And he went and joined right in the middle of all this. What would make a fellow do that? And here's what Frank Tanner told me. I'll never forget it. He said he joined the Army because he wanted to make the world a better place for his children. Now, folks, today I'm not asking you to sign up and go to Iraq or Afghanistan or any of those places. But I am asking you to do the same thing that 29-year-old man did back during 9/11. And that is, would you sign up to be in God's army to make a better world for your children, for your grandchildren, for our Lord? Honor men like this. Honor women like this. Let's you and I decide today that's the kind of people we're going to be. People of courage, people of commitment, people of cooperation, people of compassion. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, what could happen if all of your people united as one person in this spiritual battle for the soul of America? Lord, help us today that we will be people of consistency, that we walk the walk, that we do it Sunday through Saturday. Help us, God, to be people of compassion, people of commitment, people of courage. Help us to realize, God, that it takes a team. Lord, may we all be fellow soldiers and fellow workers, a part, God, of your team. Now, Lord, as we have a time of decision and commitment making, Lord, may your Holy Spirit stir us deep down on the inner part of us to be the people of God on mission. Lead us now, God, as we make our decisions. We'll make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.